Let's pray as we prepare to open up the Word. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Lord, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, thank you for your gifts to the church. Lord, thank you for our children. Lord, thank you for our families. Lord, thank you for our jobs. Thank you for our provision. Lord, thank you for your Word that speaks to us, that teaches us, that challenges us, that grows us. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit that convicts us, that highlights things, that directs us, Lord, that empowers us to live a life that we couldn't live without you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my habit has been doing a book. And in between doing books, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, we've been doing topical. And of course, it doesn't mean we stop looking at the Bible, but we look at a topic and then look at the Bible and all those different ways that it speaks to that topic. And so I picked a title of this series called Living by Faith. And then as we will look at specific items that we grow our faith by and apply to our lives. Living by faith is what makes a person a follower of Jesus. And our theme verse is, we live by faith and not by sight. And we began, as we did an intro last week, all those places that we need to step out in faith based on who God is rather than what we see. Because sometimes what we see does not look good. And it distracts us and it keeps us from stepping out. And so as we, even those things that you know you're supposed to do, we live by faith so that it will, this is going to sound ringy. Thank you, Doug. That as we walk by faith, by what we, by our faith versus what we see, it's a different paradigm. It's what allows us to keep going and do things that we don't see a result in. I liken it to, I remember years ago, I was beating on concrete with a sledgehammer trying to break something up, and it was just bouncing off. And I was like, I wish I had a jackhammer. But I had just a sledge, and I just kept swinging. I'm not a big guy, and so I'm just like, kh. And so then I'm a numbers guy. You know that, right? So I'm counting how many times I'm hitting it. It's like, okay, there's one, there's 10, there's 15, 16, and then like 17 or 18, you see a crack. And I remember just that realization that those things that you know have result, that's living by faith, not by sight, says, well, you know when God says something that it's going to have result, even though you don't see it. And there's some hard things, and the Bible calls them strongholds, right? That need some serious hammering, some serious sledgehammering to continue until the crack develops. And once a crack develops, you can hammer something in and pry on it and it breaks apart. And once you get the edges off and things that are stopping that movement, it just all begins to crumble. As we live by faith, like I said, it's what makes people a follower of Jesus. In John 11, 25 and 26, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Does that seem like crazy talk? It's like, oh, this guy's on another planet. You know, it is crazy talk, because if you look at it as a physical thing, it doesn't make sense. But if you look at it in a spiritual context and a spiritual truth, it makes sense. They live though they die though they live. Why? Because they're two different worlds, right? There's the physical concrete world and there's a spiritual world, a world you can't see. What we learned last week was that what you see is temporary. What you don't see is what lasts forever. What is it that we see? The critical turning point for people to believe in Jesus is to believe, to have faith. It's like, for me to say I believe that Jesus is the resurrection and life, to believe that that I die somehow physically, but I continue to live, takes faith. We can't believe that Jesus is who he said he is unless we have faith. Faith, believing something that you can't see, right? That's why we have this Hebrews 11:1 on the wall. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain about what? Certain about what we don't see. Certain. Something's here. I don't know what it is, but something's here. It's what we need to have faith to believe that we live as citizens of heaven. You only can do that by faith. Faith is how we connect with God. You have to believe that he exists, and you cannot see God. Why? Because God is spirit. In order to have a relationship with him, you have to believe that an invisible God lives. It's the only way that we can please him. It's the only way that we can experience him. It's the only way that we can be rewarded by him. It's impossible to please God without faith. Why? Because faith is what? Seeing, believing what you don't see. And it's not blind faith, and we're going to talk about that. Faith is as good as what you have faith in. We develop faith in a person or friendship by hanging out with them. First of all, we observe them. We're like, you know, hey, I like that person. They got, for me, great sense of humor. Or they're kind. Or they're smart. I need lots of smart friends. Those things that you observe about who they are. And then you engage with them, and then you experience them. It's the same way with God, is that we can observe who he is how we began to develop our faith in him. Look at the hugeness of the universe. And you know, back in the day, National Geographic used to do magazines that came in the mail. Now you can see those pictures online, but it's amazing pictures of like the Hubble telescope and whatever that probe was that has gone outside of our reaching to the outer limits of our solar system to see things that you can't see with your naked eye, let alone a telescope, and the detail that it will see a telescope from hundreds of thousands of miles away from Earth to see the beauty of constellation and star formations. And what's weird is that they say, oh, that sun, that light you see there, that sun is already gone because it takes so many thousands of light years to get here. That's a creation that God created beyond. And that's just the universe. The stars, amazing to see the sun rise every day. Well, maybe not so much every day. But to see the sun rise and say the warmth of it, to feel in a moment to go from the shade, which you're looking for sometimes, to step into the sunlight and feel the warmth of a sun that's thousands of miles away from us. Not only that, you can get sunburned or work on your tan. It grows plants. I was talking to somebody who lives in Alaska. They grow pumpkins this big. Why? Because there's like 24 hours of sunlight. There's like 3 months of sun. But the sunlight that they have, their plants grow just huge because of all of that sunlight that they're able to grow 24 hours a day. I think about the earth, creatures, the intricacies of animals, the colors that they have. There's some hilarious looking animals out there. I love my little browser. It shows images of not only just architecture, but images of the beauty and unique creatures. I love stuff I don't get to see in my backyard. But stuff that I get to see, like when I go to Hawaii or someplace else, those creatures and the birds and the colors, fascinating. And the animals that look different, you know, whether it's a praying mantis or the grasshoppers that we have. I just saw grasshoppers the first time this year in a long time. They're brown here. They're not green. I was like, what's wrong with you guys? Why, they hide better. They got a tan. And then the few sunlights that we have. But they think about that part of that, what Romans talks about is that is a faith that every single human being has. Because you say, how did this happen? It didn't just happen. There is design here. There's intention. There's provision. there's care, there's creativity, and I'm going to say, go as far as say there's humor. And I'm not talking about, you know, the jokes, you know, God must have a sense of humor, look at you, you know, whatever. But think about just the, you know, there's a standard platform mostly of eyes and legs and arms, but the colors of them, you know, I think I remember the first time I saw my blue heron up close. If you've ever seen a blue heron up close, it looks like it has mascara on. I had never seen most time blue heron just fly, and several years ago, walking at Cheetah Lake, where I like to do my walk and jog, and I came up on it. It was just probably only like from 10 feet away, and he hadn't flown away. Or she, don't know. Must have been a she, right? Has makeup on. He hadn't flown away, and it just stood there and looked at me, and I'm like, really careful getting out my camera and taking a picture of it. And then you can zoom in on it. And it was stunning to see the color variations, and that's something that you can see with your eyes. The intricacies of who God is, all the things that we can't see with our eyes, and there's beauty in it. And I'm thinking, not only did God have all those qualities of planning, intentionality, creativity, provision, but God got pleasure out of what he meant. I get pleasure out of it. That base place that we start with faith is that, you know, some people might think that's kind of shallow when you talk about spirituality. That, let's move on to something really deep. Let's talk about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. But I would challenge you to say that if we don't have a good foundation and appreciation of who God is in just creation, we won't appreciate and see something further in things that are eternal and the things we can't see. So if I can understand there's creativity in God in just the natural, I'm going to say, oh my goodness, in the spiritual, God is creative. God is providing. God is resourcing. God is designing. God is intentional. That God, so I could say, as I have a faith here, that foundation of that God created the world and who his, what his qualities are, then that's a foundation I could build on and say, okay, if God's that intentional, then I am not an accident. Before I was born, God knit me together in my mother's womb. Before I was born, he created for me to walk in good things that he designed for me to walk in. You talk about revelation, understanding who God is. What we see in the natural is called general revelation. There's another kind of revelation. It's called specific revelation. And it's revelation about who God is from Scripture. And we're going to spend, like I said, that foundation. Is there a God? Lock it in. There's a God. And he's super smart. And that's an understatement. Is faith in God? What is faith in God? Psalms 33:4. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. In that simple statement of truth, if we define, okay, we got general revelation, then we have specific revelation, and we look to the Bible for who God is, faith that God, what he says is true. Everything he says is true. And like I talked about, truth isn't just a concept or an idea, a fact. The truth, like we talked before, is a person of Jesus. And another way to look at it, truth is reality. It's the way things are. And we have physical things that happen that have a certain reality to it, but it's a temporary, a created reality from creation. There is a reality that God says is true, whether things line up and you understand it or not. Faith in God says that God is my reality. Faith in that we also see that God is always right in what he does. Always right in what he does. I used to have the false idea that I was always right. it takes a few years and some humbling experiences to finally say those words, I was wrong. And then I've come to the point where I'm maturing just a little bit more. I can honestly say sometimes, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. But there is one who does. There's a God who always does what is right. It's not easy. It's not comfortable. And here's what doing right is. It's not quick. When God does something's right, we have a definition, right? Well, God, would you just hurry up and get done and do the right thing in this situation? I know what you need to do. You need to do it. Faith in God says, no, I get to trust. If He always does something right, I have no pointers for Him. I have no better ways for Him to do it. I have easier ways. I have ways that don't cause so much pain. I have ways that allow me not to change, but they're not the right way. Faith in God says He is always right in what He does. And God is faithful. Faith that God will do what He says He will do. Right? Faithful in everything He does. Faithful means you follow through. Faithful means you complete what you started. Right? Philippians, God will complete the work in you, what He started. He is faithful to complete. Faithful. God will always do what He says He will do. We may say, God, you said you would restore my marriage. Or God, you said you'd get me a job. And I don't have a job. What's that about? As we interpret God under our description of what it means to follow through. And God is interested not in a correction of our circumstances. What is God interested in? Our hearts. He's interested in it. Takes for some of us, most of us, some difficult situations before our hearts change. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Faith that God is beyond me. Faith that God, He's bigger, He's better, He's wiser, He's a better planner, He sees what's around the corner. It is beyond me. And the Lord's talking as Isaiah writes the words, I just need you to give a perspective here, little man. It's like, what's a big thing? As high as the heavens are above the earth. And we're like, oh, I can get there. I got a rocket. It's like, let me just get there. I can get there. Something that's impossible. It's deeper, wider than anything. Faith that God does not have a limit in what He does. Faith in God. That God's understanding is not limited. That we recognize that He's beyond. God sees what I don't see. God thinks about things differently than I do. God sees better and God thinks better. His ways are beyond. And it's not like you, as you become a Christian and grow and become as mature as I am, that me and God are like this now. I can now think like God does. No. It never happens because I am a created being just like you. The same faith that you are required to have to walk out your life is the same faith I'm required to have. We never get to escape that. You never get to move beyond that. This, like I've told you before, as I write sermons, they're for me as much as they are for you. As I know that I need to remember that. And we'll go on to Exodus 34, verse 6 and 7. The Lord passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. I think about faith that God is good. He's compassionate. He's patient. He's loving. All those things we talked about. He's forgiving. Just because something hurts doesn't mean it's not good. And I think about that illustration. When you go to the dentist, is he there just to cause you pain? No. He's there to bring health and healing and get rid of what's rotten. And it hurts for a moment, but the result is really good. As we recognize that if God is compassionate, if He's understanding, if He's caring, then the pain I'm going through is still good. It is still good. How many of you guys are experiencing pain? How many have experienced discouragement? How many experienced frustration? Say it with me. It is good. It is good. And we'll talk a little bit more later why it is good. Faith, because He is good, I can depend on Him to love me and care for me through the difficult and painful circumstances. Not around, but through them. Exodus 34:7, it goes on to say, yet He does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sins of parents to the third and fourth generation. Faith that God is just. Faith that God is just. God cares about how we live. He doesn't just look the other way. You know, because I'm a very justice-oriented, like most of you. When I see somebody speeding, driving recklessly, I pray that there's a state trooper nearby. Because I want that guy to get pulled over. I want him to get a ticket. And occasionally I'll see him pulled over. I'll be like, yeah, dude. You know, that's it's your own fault. But recognizing it, kind of faith is two things. Faith that what God does, there's a reward for. And faith that what God does and we disobey without faith, there's a punishment for. It takes faith on both sides. And saying, if I don't put my faith in God, there's going to be a consequence to it. You know, what's crazy about faith is that you have to believe and understand that it's going to happen. Because God is so genius, the moment you do something right, He doesn't like shower you with blessings. Very rarely do you make a great decision out of faith and all of a sudden God says, hey, attaboy, here's $1 million, good job. Or we make some stupid choice and we disobey and we sin. All of a sudden, the lightning bolt doesn't come down and strike you. Although I know some of you have prayed that for people. We want the lightning bolt to come. It doesn't come. Why? Because there's faith on both sides. You got to believe that when you walk in righteousness, that God will bless you. God will walk with you. God will bring and open doors that wouldn't have happened. And the reverse is true. Then when we disobey God, when we don't walk in faith, there is a consequence. For me, what's really sad is we sometimes, people in their faith walk journey, do not begin to walk out their faith walk until they begin to see the consequences. And a lot of times it's with kids. When they're young, you're thinking everything is good. They're sweet, they're kind, and then they become middle schoolers. And you start to see, oh my gosh, I got some bad habits that are showing up on my kid. And then they get to high school or teenage, full-blown, like they are their own person. And you're like, man, I really need to start going to church. I really need to start doing, I need to pay attention to how I talk. I need to pay attention to what we watch on TV. I need to pay attention to how what we're doing. Well, guess what? The pattern has been set up and your decision to walk in faith, which is good and right and true, and there are rewards, will not negate that consequence. Faith says that because I've seen Christians who come to the Lord and they start making great decisions and it seems like then the wheels come off the bus. It's not only do they start making, all of a sudden things get harder and worse. Why? Because God wants to know that you're not doing this, wants your heart to know you're not doing this for the benefit. You're doing this because God is true. What He says is right and good. And you follow and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this. Even though my kids aren't walking with the Lord, I'm going to walk with You. Knowing by faith that how I live is going to have an impact on them. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but maybe someday when they have kids, they're like, oh my goodness, I remember when my parents started walking with the Lord. I remember when they started to obey and their hearts started to change. We don't know that. We don't know how that happens. That's all about faith. knowing that when I walk in obedience to God, when I walk in relationship with Him, it always has a result. I love that song, whether I see it or whether I feel it. And the reverse is true. When I walk in disobedience and don't do what God asked me to do, what is good and right and obedient, it always has a consequence. Always. Second Timothy, coming from chapter 3, verse 16, 17. Be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. My faith in God includes that He wants me to grow and mature. And I just grabbed those little verses. There are lots of examples of Paul's prayer and what he hoped people grow in their knowledge and understand who God is. That His desire is that we would grow and mature. And like I said, it doesn't matter how old you are. My mom, I think she died when she was 89. She was the sweetest thing, super big testimony in my life. But I was always wowed by her. I said, I'm still growing, I'm still learning. She would just like go on about what she was learning in her Bible study. And it was just all like a kid all over again, just continue to learn. And just like, you're right, Mom. That is so good. That is so true. That we never get done learning and growing. To be a Christian is not to stay the same. To be a follower of God, have faith, is not to be the same. I have the statement, status quo is not okay. Where we like comfortable. I am like a person in routine. I like to know this is my routine and you settle in. The problem with settling in is we get lazy. We get passive. Chris, if it's some of these songs that we sang this morning are new to us, a couple of them. Some I heard, I listened to a lot of worship music, but there were a couple, and I was telling Chris, I said, you know, I love that you brought these songs. And he's like, I didn't realize I brought so many. I said, that's okay. I said, because sometimes we need new songs, those words, rather than just singing from rote or from memory, all of a sudden we're looking at those words. Oh, yeah, that's true. And you repeat a phrase, and like, that's true. Oh, man, lock that in my heart, Lord. That we need to continue to grow and continue to mature. I think about just that letter in the New Testament where James talks about faith. He says what? Faith by itself, if not accompanied by works, by action, is what? Dead. Faith in God will change how you live. You can evaluate, I can evaluate my life. You can evaluate your life. You can evaluate your faith in God by how you live. By how you trust God for what He's doing. If there's not something in your life that's beyond you, that looks impossible, that you don't understand, that you're struggling to be faithful in, that is the point of growth. That's the point where you get to say, I'm going to do this even though I'm not seeing a result for it. I have the benefit of having grown children. And what I'm talking about is, I encourage young parents, young families, to continue to parent by faith. I have the benefit. Is we did a lot of years of parenting by faith, and I described it on later as I began to see the results. And probably the first one, and I've told this story before, is when my son sent an email from his freshman first quarter at college. He sent an email to his mom, and I should go back and look and find it, because I always said I kept it. But he said, Mom, Dad, thank you for how you raised me. He says, I had no idea what a blessing you were to me. Why? He's in a dorm, has three other roommates, four guys in a dorm, two or four, I can't remember, but in a community, all different walks of life. New Christians, old Christians, kids who grew up Christian in theory, not in life. You know, just recognize, it's like, wow, I picked up some things I didn't know. I wanted to say that because I wanted to kiss him. He had no idea what an encouragement that was to his mom and I. All those things that you know, you're like, for the 100th time, told them to clean up their room or pick up their dishes or help with the laundry or, you know, don't smack your sister or brother, you know, whatever. All those things that you feel like a broken record and you try to think of creative ways besides going like this, you know, to get their attention. That he's like, I encourage young families, parent by faith. Do what's right. Do what's good. Do what reflects your faith in God. God is not mocked. When he says something, it is true and right and have results. Mock means that you can't blow it off. God cannot be blown off. What he says, it will be lead to a blessing, or it's going to lead to consequences, to curses. Faith in God will change how you live. What does living by faith look like? And I think I'm so glad you asked, because as we talked about this series, Living by Faith, I'm going to take a topic each week and say, here's what it looks like in this area. In this case, this Sunday, we're saying living by faith in marriage. Living by faith in marriage will direct who you date and marry. It'll direct who you hang out with. It'll direct the friendships that you invest in. And I'm not just talking about the opposite sex. I'm talking about the friends, who your friends are. Because who are you likely to meet in dating? You're going to meet your friends' friends. If you're a guy, your guy friends. Who are you hanging out with? If you're a girl, who are the girlfriends you're hanging out with? Because that's who you're going to meet. That is who, as we believe, as you believe, and live out your faith in marriage, you're going to pay attention to who you hang out with. Don't be fooled. Bad company corrupts good character. Ask God. Help you. God, I got terrible friends. I need some good friends. And there's a difference between friendships and close friends. God calls us to be friends, have friends, because that's our place of influence as we walk out our faith. But close friends that we're getting habits from, as we're seeing how they're lived, to find friends that have a faith in God, believing that doing what he says leads to a life that is better and different. Living by faith in marriage will raise your expectation and value of marriage. As we talk about, remember I said at that foundation of creation, looking at how God knit things together and built things, that he built us for relationship. And from the beginning, he made Adam and then he made Eve as a helpmate. Has recognized that God created marriage, that God created things that were good, and therefore marriage is to honor God. Honor him by what we do. It's intended that our relationship would reflect God's relationship with us. That it would be a loving relationship. It would be a forgiving relationship. It would be a helpful relationship. It would be a sacrificing relationship. All those things, as I say, living by faith says marriage is from God, is going to change my expectations and value of marriage. To respect and love one another is to be the hallmark of marriages. My choices and priorities are to honor my marriage, not dishonor them. I remember just that process of Jackie and I dating. And when it became serious, and I'll be honest, I did not throw away back in the day, you didn't have phones. I had my little black book with lots of girls' phone numbers in it. I threw that book away. You know what the next step was? I was going through years later, and it was all the way, I want to say, 12 years into marriage, maybe 14, I was up in the attic going through my saving box, which had some childhood things I'd made. Inside that saving box was the pictures of my old girlfriends, just the cute ones. I was convicted. Not only did I need to throw away those phone numbers that I would never have need for or want to be tempted, I threw those pictures away because I didn't want those to be the source of fantasy or of regret or whatever. I was like, no, I am all in. God, I'm going to honor my marriage by cutting ties with this relationships in the past. And in this day of social media, it may mean defriending somebody. What? It may be pulling somebody off of your Instagram account or Twitter, whatever, to say, I don't need that. I'm going to honor marriage because this relationship did not honor you, God. And especially as you get married, to value, to close those doors, to value your expectation of what marriage is supposed to be. Living by faith in marriage will create a desire to grow and mature in your marriage. I'm going to say something super shocking, and that marriage is going to bring up a few issues. Marriage is going to bring up a few issues. Here's a statement I read the other day. It was profound. Issues are not random. Sometimes we don't correlate that the issues that come up are just like your pain. That's why this is an issue. No, issues are not random. The source of them is significant. When something comes up that bothers you, that upsets you or causes you to be angry, pay attention. Those issues are not random. They're stepping stones to our maturity, to our growth as a person, to growth in understanding who we are with God, and growing in our marriage, growing in our relationship. Those issues are God's knocking on the door. Will you open the door and allow Him to come in and help you with that? God wants to see us to see where we're not living by faith. God wants us to be free from those sin issues that are controlling us instead of being controlled by our Holy Spirit. We all have families of origin issues. That just means the family you grew up in. It doesn't necessarily have to be genetic, but the family you grew up in, how they dealt with things, how they communicated, will influence what we take into relationship. Our experience, our trauma, our abuse, our disappointments, all those things can be controlling factors in us blocking our growth in our relationship because we don't know any better. It's just how things are. In fact, we may have been in the false impression the way we're doing things are just fine. Just don't get upset about it anymore and everything would be fine. It's like, no, these are issues. If you're having a faith and you believe that God honors marriage, honors those relationships, is God gives the opportunity to say, hey, this is what growth, this is what maturity looks like. We are either building each other up or tearing each other down. Does my mate feel encouraged and empowered and hopeful? Or do they feel discouraged and beat down after we address an issue? I was serving clients in my accounting business full time, as well as a youth pastor at my church, raising three children, 7th grade, 5th grade, 3rd grade, with my wife Jackie, and I was attending Bible seminary half time. It was an intense time of striving to keep enough billable hours of my business so that we could make ends meet. Late night study to get through hundreds of pages of reading and homework each week. Leading a growing youth ministry, preparing messages and activities every week. Parenting my kids, through school, sports, and friendships, and striving to be the man that I was supposed to be with my wife, Jackie. Needless to say, I was angry when my wife, Jackie, told me that she was not happy with our relationship. I became so angry that I grabbed one of the stools at our breakfast counter and I threw it on the ground. And then I began to jump up and down it until it was broken to pieces. And as I thought about it again, I became so angry. I was like, are you kidding me? I'm doing this, 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 and this. I am doing everything I can. This is ridiculous that you're not happy. How can that be? And I took the second chair and I threw it on the ground and broke it to pieces. How could Jackie not be happy with our relationship? We were in the kitchen where most meaningful conversations happen. Issues are not random. Jackie's bravery, honesty, and care for our marriage to tell me she was not happy with our relationship was another stepping stone to my growth and maturity, and Jackie's growth, and the growth of our marriage.
He wrote or said that it was my bravery or honesty or care for our marriage that was the reason for the next steps. And really, it was probably desperation, because we'd been married at that point probably 12-ish years. And, I knew that our life was just not, it didn't feel fulfilling to me. We had started out with all the dreams that young couples have. You know, we wanted to be married forever and raise a family. We had hopes and dreams and amazing children. Like you said, we were involved in ministry. We had treasured friends. There were a couple of great things. We were headed in the same direction. We knew we wanted to be married forever. We wanted, we had the same goal about that. We also knew that we were committed to the same outcome, of what it would look like as we've navigated life together. But it was very empty. There wasn't an emotional connection between us. And I knew that I could continue to operate in my middle child way and be independent and take care of business. I just put my head down and raise my children and do my stuff at church and be a part of my neighborhood. But I really knew that the Lord, that wasn't good for either of us, that I needed to let the Lord have the situation and grow my faith in it. It was kind of risky because of what we had just experienced. I didn't know, he needed to know that that was how I felt and that I believed for something better for us. And so I just needed to share my heart with him, and the Lord really honored that. I just want to say that he talked about getting rid of some of those pictures like 12 plus years into our marriage. And nothing happens randomly or by accident, because I believe that was probably about the same time that we got to walk into some transforming time for us when you were letting go of some old things.
Yeah. I think it's important that, just as Jackie shared, that you, some insight of my perspective, but in the meantime, there's a whole nother view person that's going on, that's being challenged in growth. I look at this beginning, a piece of my long road of growth from a life of doing to life of being. And I'm still discovering the meaning of that. I came to realize that striving to do all the right things, because you looked at this list, is like, how could you not be happy? I'm an amazing guy. I have to confess something I said, and you're just, I said to you, here's the ultimate. I didn't even list how, I was questioning her, how could you not be happy? You know what I said? I said, I don't beat you and I'm not a drunk. I set really high standards for a marriage, don't you think? Jackie's like, no, I want more. I want more. It's interesting, as we were talking about this, that it's at that point, where you say, I want more. And if you don't express those issues to your spouse or the people in your life, if you don't express those, something else will come along and say, oh, this is the more you're looking for. In my case, Jackie, praise the Lord, she knew that she was unhappy. I'm a typical guy. I was completely okay. They're like, how could you be? I was doing all the right stuff. I thought that's the way it was supposed to be. And so what will happen if you don't deal with the issues, something better could have come along that I wasn't looking for because I didn't know any better. It could have come along. I'm like, oh, that's what a relationship's supposed to be. Because I didn't even know it could be. And in that journey for Jackie saying, I'm not happy, I believe, living by faith, that God has something way better for our marriage than what we're experiencing. And if it wasn't for that, I would not have be enjoying today the way better that God has for marriage and relationships. Have we arrived? No, we still got issues to work through. That we've laid down that foundation of faith. The issues are not random. When stuff comes up, just this last week, I discovered a new opportunity to grow. The Lord knocking on my heart. I am super prideful, and I love to unload the dishwasher before Jackie gets down. I love to fold the laundry before she finds out that it needs to be done. And she got mad at me. It's like somebody going, why would the heck you get mad? She said, Scott, I got married to do life with you. And when you do that stuff by yourself, you're excluding me from our relationship. And I knew that the source of me doing that wasn't, oh, I want to bless Jackie. It was pride. It was like, so I was like, hey, you want to come up and help me? You know, sometimes we're off doing things and I need to do this and why she does that. But there's times we're together. I say, hey, let me come up. Let's do full laundry together. Because she does that with me. I go out and mow the yard. She's out pulling weeds or doing stuff outside. Why? Because she wants to do life with me. God grew my heart. I'm catching myself how many times I go ahead and do stuff on my own and say, hey, can we do this together? Just as it's a new epiphany, awakening, and I'm excited where God will grow our marriage in that situation. I came to realize that doing my best was not good enough. I need the work and the power of the Holy Spirit to change my heart in order to become the man, the person that God wants me to be. Living by faith led Jackie to believe that God had so much for our marriage than we were experiencing in the life that we had. And that she was not going to be passive or willingly accept just the way things were. Living by faith for me led me to believe that my wife was a gift to me. That God's perfectly matched my dysfunction, my blindness, my weakness, and my strengths to my spouse. That together God was going to bring up issues that we should not ignore, but that were stepping stones to something rich and rewarding. I was not going to ignore the pain and disappointment, but press into the good and compassionate God who loved me and gave himself for me so that I might have life to the full, that I would have an abundant life. Living by faith. I pray, you know, and I know that we're not all married here, but the relationship truths are the same. That you get to value it and not get in the way and maybe encourage friends who are thinking of leaving somebody or super disappointed, that sometimes you'll have friends tell you things that they don't even tell their spouse. And you're like, have you told your spouse? No. They won't listen. They don't understand. Those are opportunities to pray. To encourage you to live by faith and say, hey, what God wants to do, he will bless you. Trust me, he will bless you. parent by faith, be married and be in relationship by faith. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Lord, thank you that you're, as we focus on who you are, God, Lord, your attributes, your faithfulness, what you say is true, that your ways are not our ways. Lord, that you are good through and through. Lord, that our hard things we go to are intended, Lord, to highlight issues that we have that you want us to grow in our faith. Lord, I pray that in lots of ways, Lord, as we talk about some application for what living in, by faith looks like, God, that we would have our own stories throughout the week recognize, like, okay, I'm going to do this because I know, God, this is good and this is right. Not because it's easy. Not because it gets a good response, but I know and I trust you, God, that in some way, somehow, there's going to be a blessing that comes out of me living by faith instead of by sight. Lord, we love you, God. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your resolution, ultimate resolution in heaven, when we get to fall on our face and worship you and with all the nations and myriads of people to say, God, you are our God. There's none like you. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand with me as we close with this song.